Hi, and welcome to another episode of Biting Into Healthcare with me, Dr. Miguel Stanley. It's been a while since my last podcast, and taking a little summer break. And I just wanted to thank everybody for all of the kind messages and emails. The podcast is now being downloaded in over 60 countries around the world. I'm really happy to see that so many people are responding positively to this. I don't consider myself a professional podcaster. This podcast is not monetized in any way. It's not sponsored, and it's just a few collective ideas that I've been amassing over the past years as a surgeon, as a dentist, as a healthcare provider. And I'm just really grateful to everybody that's been downloading and listening, and hopefully this can grow into something bigger. Just like to get my ideas out there. And that's why, you know, it's not so professional, but at least it's honest, and it's my thoughts, and I'm not trying to sell anything or promote anything here. Today's episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about tobacco and smoking. And the reason why I wanted to discuss this is related directly to my job. I'm a dentist, I'm a surgeon, and I've had different positions on tobacco over the years. But now, since the pandemic, obviously, there's just some undeniable statistics that we need to look at and we need to discuss. And I wanted to put this out there. So first and foremost, as a dentist, I can tell you that, when we do extractions, we have direct access to the bone. And as dentists, we have direct access to gums and gum disease and oral diseases. And, you know, in some countries, when you look at the branding on tobaccos, which something is, you know, positive, they put these horrible images of mouth cancer and, you know, these horrible things that can happen to your body as a deterrent, which I think is very good. And that stuff's real. You know, when you see patients that are heavy smokers and you just look inside their mouths, it's just, there's a real difference between the mouth of a smoker and the mouth of a non-smoker. And, you know, in the past, I didn't want to create this apartheid, let's say, smoking apartheid, where I wouldn't treat smokers. And I would, however, you know, I'll tell patients if they were smokers, I said, look, there's going to be a higher risk of failure, of things going wrong. And, you know, you have to be prepared that the wound might not close as well. You know, if you're going to take a tooth out, and things might not heal as well. And if we're going to place dental implants, that there might be a higher risk of failure. And up till about 2 years ago, that was my stance. In all fairness, I've had amazing success in surgical cases with smokers, and later found out that, you know, these people eat well and have good oral hygiene and all of that, so they do take better care of themselves. You know, you have smokers that take very good care of themselves, that are joggers, that are athletes, that are eat super healthy, take supplements, measure the vitamin D, take vitamin C, they sleep well, they hydrate, they have better living conditions. According to the World Health Organization, you know, smoking is something that affects middle or lower income families or citizens a lot more. It's something that usually is the death toll is usually higher in those that come from lower income families, and the numbers are quite big. I mean, and I'll get into the numbers in a bit, but men who smoke increase their risk of dying from bronchitis and emphysema 17 times more, from cancer of the trachea, lung, and bronchus more than 23 times. Smoking increases the risk of dying from coronary heart disease amongst middle-aged men almost 4 times, and that's on the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. If you go to the World Health Organization, which has become a big major player in the last 2 years. Tobacco kills up to half of its users. Tobacco kills more than 8 million people each year. More than 7 million of those deaths are the result of direct tobacco use, while 1.2 million are the result of non-smokers being exposed to secondhand smoke. Over 80% of the world's 1.3 billion tobacco users now live in low and middle income countries. And that's where I was getting at. So let's just say that the success rate of, you know, my patients, I'm a private practitioner in a first world country. Maybe, you know, they eat well and they have better conditions. That's why I've been more successful in the past. But it's come to a point where I don't want to operate patients that are heavy smokers or that are even, you know, consistent smokers. I would say that's anything over 4 cigarettes, 5 cigarettes a day. You know, an occasional smoker that will have a cigarette on a weekend or a cigar every now and again. I might turn a blind eye, but heavy smokers, I'm done with that. I'm not going to invest my time and resources on that because I'm really focused on success. And, you know, I won't operate patients that have low vitamin D. And you can check articles that I've written on that. You can just Google Miguel Stanley vitamin D, and it's online, free. I published in the International Dental Tribune last year on the importance of that. And I just think that doctors, you can't just outsource your health to your doctors. You have to own it. And, you know, if you want to come to a healthcare provider, then you've got to make some concessions. You've got to actually make the investment. You've got to show up. You've got to be kind. You've got to be nice. And you've got to stop smoking. And you've got to be healthy. And you've got to brush your teeth. And you've got to, you know, do the right thing. It's much like going to a restaurant. You know, you can't go to a restaurant nowadays and smoke indoors. And you have to be polite to the staff, and you have to be able to pay for your meal. You know, those are the rules. And if you don't do that, you probably get kicked out, or you'll have some negative effects. So, of course, healthcare is a little bit different, and I'm talking about dentistry and private healthcare. But healthcare has become such a big topic lately, and the whole discussion on, you know, with the pandemic and COVID and all of the limitations that we've had, and air and clean air have become such a big topic. And so many more people are forced to wait in line outside. And I just have a huge issue with people smoking outside in a line or people smoking outdoors on terraces near children. I get really angry when I see parents with young kids smoking next to their young kids, because those young kids just don't have an alternative. And I actually think there should be consequences for parents smoking near young children. I mean, we've got to just end the cycle. And there was a recent news that came out where a major tobacco company, producer, manufacturer, and seller, said that they aim to ban or to stop selling tobacco in the next 10 years. I think that's an amazing news. 10 years is a long time. Just to be clear, according to the World Health Organization, you can go to who.int, World Health Organization, tobacco kills more than 8 million people a year. So, the same organization, if you Google that, COVID deaths, I'm entering that into my computer right now, 4.3 million deaths since the whole thing started. So, since the whole thing started, 4.3 million deaths, and let's say a whole bunch of comorbidity, people that got really sick afterwards and as a result of having COVID. But the numbers are very clear. 4.3 million deaths. Let's even say 5 million people in total that have been affected directly and indirectly by this. But 8 million people a year die directly. According to WHO, 7 million direct result of tobacco and 1.2 million because of secondhand smoke. So there's just some things here that I think we need to discuss. Over 1.3 billion tobacco users worldwide live in low and middle income countries where the burden of tobacco-related illness and death is the heaviest. And we also know that the rollout of the COVID vaccines in the poorer part of the world is taking a bit more time. Just look at what's happening in Africa. These countries, you know, look at what's happening in South Africa right now. And tobacco usage contributes to poverty by diverting household spending from basic needs such as food and shelter to tobacco. So people are actually spending more money on tobacco than on food and shelter because of the dependency. The economic costs of tobacco use are substantial and include significant health care costs for treating the diseases caused by tobacco use, as well as the loss of human capital that results from tobacco-attributed morbidity and mortality. I am reading from the WHO, the World Health Organization page. In some countries, children from poor households are employed in tobacco farming to boost family income. Tobacco-growing farmers are also exposed to a number of health risks, including green tobacco sickness. So here we have the World Health Organization saying that there are 8 million deaths a year by tobacco. The same organization says that there's only been, that there's been 4.3 million deaths from COVID. So roughly half the number from tobacco. So I'm just really curious here. So we have 8 million people dying from tobacco every year. We have half of that dying from COVID in a year and a half. So because the pandemic's been happening now for a year and a half. So it's less, half. And we also know, according to the WHO, that smokers face a 40 to 50% higher risk of developing severe disease and death from COVID-19. So that means that smokers are at 50% higher risk of dying from COVID if they catch it. And the World Health Organization is supporting the quitting of tobacco to reduce the risks, but there's no serious banning or direct action. You don't see governments coming out and forcing the massive fines on tobacco because, of course, you know, I'm not going to get into any conspiracies or whatever. I'm not that kind of person. I'm just a doctor here trying to understand. We have absolute proof that smoking causes major diseases. 8 million deaths a year from tobacco. As a surgeon, I see this in my patients' mouths, that smokers have really bad health issues. And to the extent that I now do not treat heavy smokers or even moderate smokers, so anything over 4 cigarettes a day, I will refuse treatment just because I want to treat people that want to be healthy. And we also see, according to the WHO, that there's a 50% increase in deaths of smokers that catch COVID. So, question. Why aren't we seeing a ban on tobacco? Why is it okay during this pandemic with all of the limitations on travel, on what we can and cannot do, the vaccine rollout, the mandatory vaccine rollouts in some countries, but nothing touching tobacco? I just don't understand it. I don't understand why it's okay to smoke in public, in a line, next to children, on a beach next to children, on a terrace, on a restaurant next to children. And that's in, you know, these first world countries where there's easier access to healthcare, let alone we've understood that over 1.3 billion tobacco users come from the poorer parts of the planet, where there's even worse and less healthcare conditions, where the rollout of the vaccination is, let's say, not as expeditious as in first world countries. So people are getting so indignant and so offended and so upset, but there's really no equity here, and these things don't make sense. You know, I'm all for promoting healthcare and safer environments, and I'm all for people doing everything they can to avoid catching COVID, transmitting COVID. I think it's fair and legitimate that governments do whatever they need to do to protect the elderly, the children, and its population. But if we see and we follow what has been happening in the news, where it says that we've got to do our part to reduce transmissions so that less people get sick, so that we don't burden the emergency centers of our hospitals, which makes absolute sense to, you know, lock down. And but then why not ban smoking? Because smoking, 8 million deaths a year. In America alone, 400,000 deaths a year. And we can go just visit CDC tobacco, and it's right there. It says smoking and tobacco use on the CDC. Here you've got the basic information on the American, the numbers, smoking and tobacco uses. You've got, it's crazy. It's nearly 40 million U.S. adults still smoke cigarettes. 4.7 million are middle and high school students, including e-cigarettes. 1,600 U.S. youth younger than 18 smoke their first cigarette. And each year, nearly 500,000 Americans die prematurely of smoking or exposure to secondhand smoke. Another 16 million live with a serious illness caused by smoking. And each year, the United States spends more than $225 billion on medical care to treat smoking-related diseases in adults. These are facts on the CDC.gov website. So, we need to have this discussion about smoking and public health care. And I think we need to see more happening. And I think doctors need to have a bigger stance on this. I mean, everybody's arguing about vaccine, no vaccine, and all of this. I'm not even going to get into that discussion. As a healthcare provider, I want everybody to be healthy. I think it needs to be equitable. I think it needs to be fair. I think, you know, the poorer nation should have more access to the vaccines. I think vaccine rollouts should be more equitable. I think, personally, I think we should stay away from, you know, the discussion of children. And we're putting so much energy into that discussion. But why is there no energy being put into these statistics, into banning and prohibiting tobacco? You do not die if you stop smoking. You will, you know, it's going to be difficult. But it's not like a hard narcotic, like an opioid or like heroin or, you know, alcohol addiction. Tobacco addiction, you do not die if you can't get a cigarette. You know, so many people, there's so much evidence. You just go cold turkey and, you know, after 1 month, boom, gone. The health benefits for the entire nation or nations doing this will be amazing. The amount of people dying will be reduced. The amount of people going, you know, getting sick from heart and lung diseases and cancers will reduce exponentially. And don't you think that is the discussion we need to have about reducing the burden on each nation's healthcare providers? Is now COVID the only illness we need to be putting all of our energy into? And the only discussion that is taking over the press and the media? I mean, look, it's important that we stop this 100%. But where's the discussions about, hey, you know, eat healthier, sleep, hydrate, stop drinking alcohol, you know, take vitamins, take your supplements, eat a healthier diet? There's an absolute correlation between being healthy and having a stronger immune system. And there's an absolute correlation between having a stronger immune system and not getting so sick or having so many comorbidities from any virus, let alone COVID. Moreover, we've seen that there's a 50% higher risk of you getting, you know, sick or dying if you are a smoker. But then why not ban smoking as long as we have this pandemic? Ban it. How? I don't know. Put tax on tobacco, making it prohibitively expensive. Because those that then will be able to afford it at least will be able to go have private health care. And, you know, if you are a heavy smoker, perhaps you get the vaccine last. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my head here. You know, but it's a voluntary thing. It's not like it's a mental illness or something, and we have to help smokers. We do not have to help smokers. It's a personal decision that if everybody just chooses, they can stop tomorrow. They're not handicapped. They're not mentally ill. They don't need support groups. Tobacco isn't. It's a lifestyle decision. And we've been paying that bill with our tax monies in countries that have socialized medicine, or, you know, governments have been suffering from, you know, the burden of death toll from, not to mention families that are devastated from premature deaths associated to tobacco. And I just don't think we're doing enough on that conversation. And I'm sick of the, it's just, there's, it just doesn't make sense. So whatever any nation is doing to fight the pandemic, great. But we cannot continue turning a blind eye to the 8 million deaths a year. Twice as many people a year die from tobacco than from COVID. Yet the entire discussion of the planet is to end the pandemic. But there's another pandemic happening. It's called tobacco-related deaths. And these big companies are now saying, oh, we're going to end tobacco sales in 10 years' time. You know, I just, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. If we're going to get indignant and have families separated by opinions about COVID, then at least let's add another source of stress to the discussion. And let's be really honest about this. Because if you want to look at the statistics, more people die from tobacco than from COVID. Yet you can smoke in a line while you're waiting to get your vaccine in a public arena. It doesn't make sense. Why should I have my children, my young children, sit in an outdoor terrace? Because now, you know, we want to sit outside, have fresh air. Everybody's wearing masks, and you're going to sit away. You're not wearing masks, but you know, you take your mask off to eat a meal outside, and you've got some guy smoking a cigarette next to you. It just doesn't make sense. So I think we need to be really, really looking at this. And I think healthcare providers need to, doctors, nurses, governments, we need to just, this madness needs to stop. It's not a personal choice anymore. I mean, maybe pre-pandemic it was a personal decision. But now, if everybody's so worried about protecting public health and the cost of the pandemic to global economies, then we have to add tobacco to that discussion. We have to. There's no more turning a blind eye. And, you know, since this podcast is not monetized, you know, and I'm not sponsored by any tobacco or any big pharma whatsoever, you know, this is a discussion, and feel free to share this podcast and have this discussion. This discussion needs to be had. The numbers are there. I only quoted stuff from the CDC and from the WHO. So, you know, and bringing this back to my job as a dentist, I challenge you to find a dentist around the world that will say that tobacco doesn't cause serious oral illness. And, you know, maybe we need to just put our foots down and stop treating people or just treating them equal, because we're seeing massive differentiation between vaccinated and non-vaccinated people in the way that we're treating them, which I think is wrong. I think it's a personal decision. I think those that want to get vaccinated should. Those that don't, don't. I think governments should definitely protect the elderly and the weak. I think governments should definitely boost their healthcare systems. I think there should be, you know, special centers for COVID-related illnesses. I personally think life should, you know, this is all of these variants that are coming out now, and they're talking about now extra shots and extra vaccinations. Well, all of these private pharma companies are making billions. Why isn't the vaccine should be free, should be made available definitely to the poorer economies? But again, nobody's talking about tobacco. And I just think that this needs to be a discussion that should happen fast. Nobody's talking about promoting health. And I think, you know, better health. Everybody's depending on this vaccine as this the only thing out of this. And I think if we stop smoking and promote healthier habits in all nations, then we'll start seeing less deaths and less comorbidities around everything. So That's my two cents for this session of Biting Into Healthcare with me, Dr. Miguel Stanley. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you.